You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
So good to be in church with you today. Thank you, Josh. Where are you? Josh Cox. Thanks, mate. What a legend bringing out the pulpit for me today. Can we just give Josh a great hand? Always serving God, always serving in the house of God. I love being in a church where people love to serve each other. Amen. And so thank you, Josh. Love you, mate. You're a good man. Last week, I preached a message called Pick Your Battles. Oh, by the way, if you're new here, my name's Jesse. Welcome to church. I'm the lead pastor here. I'm glad that you're here. And out in the lobby there, we've got a gift for you. We just want to honor you and thank you for coming to church today. So run out to the lobby after the service and grab one of those welcome bags full of great stuff that we had designed and made for you. Yeah? So run and do that. Last week, I preached a message called Pick Your Battles. Who was there for that? Yeah? Someone was here for that. Fantastic. Pick Your Battles, and I really hope that that helped you throughout this week. I hope it helped you to live in peace this week. You know, it's not God's plan for you to live in constant battle. You know that? It's not God's plan for you to go from battle to battle to battle to battle to battle and never have a chance to heal and never have a chance to develop that stress wood, yeah? That's going to help you grow to the heights and into the purposes and plans of God in your life. It's not healthy to live in battle all the time. It's not healthy for your mind, and it's certainly not healthy for your soul. Last week we talked about two kings, King David, who backed down from a battle when he realized that God's not in it at this time. This is not the right time. This is not the right place. I'm going to back down from this battle. I'm going to swallow my pride so that myself and the whole city isn't destroyed because of my foolishness or my pride. And then we talked about another king, King Josiah, who let pride influence his decisions, right? And he went to war with someone even though God told him don't do it. Josiah, he died in that battle. He died, and who knows how many other people died and suffered because of one man's pride and unwillingness to back down from a fight that he didn't need to have. So pick your battles, amen? And I want to encourage you to get last week's podcast. Go and get that. It's at myeternity.com/sermons. It's also on Podbean for Android people and on iTunes for Apple people. So anyway, so go get that if you didn't get that. In fact, if you did get it, go get it again and listen to it again and pick your battles. Amen? Because there's enough battles out there to fight, right? There are. There are enough battles that you're going to have to fight. There's enough battles out there that you can't avoid. So you're going to have to pick your ones. There's enough coming to you anyway. See, we can master the art of picking our battles. But who knows, some battles are going to pick you. Right? Right? Like I can master the art of picking my battles. But I'm going to run into some battles that have picked me. But you don't have to live in fear of those battles, right? We're going to be victorious. As we keep our eyes on Jesus, we'll be victorious in those battles. God said, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. That means that Jesus is saying that he's always going to be with us and he's not going to unfriend us when we make a mistake, right? And we don't need to be afraid of a battle that's coming, whether it's a battle self-inflicted, but now we have to fight it, or whether it's a battle that the devil's bringing to us. Hey, he's not going to abandon you. So you don't have to live in fear of these battles that are coming up to you. You'll be victorious. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Amen. In fact, Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, that in me we may have peace, or in him we may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Come on, I want to pray for you. If you want to receive a word from God right now, just reach out your hands. I want to pray for you again. God, we thank you that you're not gone, that you're not done, that you didn't abandon us, Lord God. Thank you that you're here, right here with us, helping us, giving us peace, giving us strength, giving us courage, that here in your presence today, that as we hear your word, God, we want to receive it with open hearts. God, help us to live in the power of your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk to you, though, about what you do when a battle picks you. When you've been avoiding battles, not every battle, because no, we don't want to be like cowards and just running away from every battle, right? But like I'm talking about when we've been avoiding battles we don't need to have. Like driving down the interstate, somebody overtook us. We're not going to freak out and chase after them and try and fight them, because that's not a battle that we need to have, right? Someone didn't say g'day to us when we walked into the store. We don't need to fight that battle, right? Somebody drank your non-fat soy milk, 2% latte juice, whatever it is, in the fridge at work. We're not going to have a fight with someone because there's no milk in the fridge, right? We're going to pick our battles, but some battles are coming to you. We've backed down from senseless battles. We've backed down when we've sensed that pride has played a role in our fights. But all of a sudden, a battle finds you. The battle looks at us, lines us up in its sights. It's got us in its crosshairs, and it chooses you. What do you do when the battle picks you? See, Israel didn't pick a fight with the Philistines. They picked a fight with them. But the Philistines saw them, and they lined them up, put them in their sights, and they picked a fight with Israel. Not a fight that Israel could back down from. Not a fight that Israel could walk away from. Not a fight that they could diplomatically cool down, right? No, the Philistines are coming for them. They're gunning for them. This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other, Goliath yells out. I defy you. I defy the armies of the Lord. Give me a man to fight and then you'll be my slaves. Come on, you're going to find yourself facing a battle that you didn't choose. I know, again, last week I said the same thing. I want to encourage you all, but first, I want you to understand something. Being a believer, being in relationship with God, doesn't mean that there's never going to be a battle. It means there's never going to be a battle that you're on your own for. It means there's never going to be a battle that you're left to fight by yourself. Amen. But there are going to be battles. Israel didn't choose to be attacked. You didn't choose to have a boss that hates you. You didn't choose to have cancer. You didn't choose to lose a loved one. You didn't choose to have your house go into foreclosure. You didn't choose a life of drugs and substance abuse for your children. You didn't choose to get scammed by an employee. You didn't choose to get betrayed. You didn't choose to walk in and find your spouse in bed with another person. That battle chose you. You didn't choose that. It chose you. You don't get to avoid every fight. You weren't out looking for a battle, but that battle came looking for you. Some battles are going to come and try and find you. And when the battle chooses you, we can either just fall apart or we can go to war. You're going to have to go and fight, or you're going to fall apart and be destroyed. So what are you going to do now? The battle has lined you up. The battle has come to you. You didn't choose it, but the battle has come. What are you going to do now? Now remember, Jesus reminds us that our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the powers and the principalities of darkness. That person who hurt you, they're just a tool. Come on, they're just a tool. That's right, you can say that. You're a tool. Just a tool. That person's a tool. Some of them are tool bags. We don't want to just go to battle with the symptom, right? We don't want to just go to battle with the tool, with the messenger. We want to make the devil regret the moment he set his sights on us. You want to make him regret the moment that he looked you up. Regret the moment that he said, yeah, I'm coming after her. Yeah, I'm coming after him. I'm coming after their business, their marriage, their health. Come on, we're going to go to war. And we're going to make the devil repay what he took from us. Scripture is full of stories in the Word of God where the devil took something, where the enemy took something, and he had to repay it 10-fold, 20-fold, 100-fold, what he took from Israel. Come on, we're going to go to the devil and say, hey, we're going to war, son. You're going to give back 10 times what you took from me, 20 times what you took from me, 100 times what you took from me, you're going to give it back. This is how God turns the devil's plans into blessing. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, plans to bless you, plans to give you a future full of hope, right? Fantastic. But the devil's plans aren't the same as God's plans, and the negative and the hurtful and the destructive things in your life, they don't come from God. God is good. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and destroy, but Jesus says that I have come that you may have life, right? So all that garbage comes from the devil, but then God says that, hey, everything works together for the benefit of those who love the Lord, right? And so that's how he takes, hey, the devil came at us, but God's going to make him repay us. Can I get an amen? But what do you do? That all sounds great, but what do you do? How can we battle the devil? How do we stay strong? Where do we find the courage to have the fight that we've got to have? Where do we find the courage to fight for a marriage after somebody's been unfaithful? Where do we find the courage to believe in an employee who's betrayed us? Where do we find the courage to hire somebody else even though we've been bitten, not making the next person pay for the last person's mistakes? Where do we find that courage? Most of us are familiar with Psalm 23, written by David, who would later become King David. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You've heard that before? Scholars believe that this psalm was actually written by David on his way to battle Goliath. What do you do when a battle chooses you? This was like his pregame. This was like his battle plan. This is what he did when a battle lined him up and said, David, I'm coming for you. Israel, we're coming for you. This is what he did. You might think that he picked the battle with Goliath. You would be wrong. He was the only one brave enough to stand up and fight him, but he didn't pick the fight. No, they picked the fight with Israel, and David had a choice. Sit back, be destroyed, become a slave, or he could be the only one willing to step up and fight when the battle picked him. What did he do on the way to the battle? They believe he wrote this on the way to the battle. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, written by a shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil and my cup, it overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What battle are you facing right now? Are you in a battle? What battle are you facing right now? Think of it. Yes, that's right, in church, in positive church, in encouraging church. That's eternity church. I get it. We don't normally go negative. We're not going negative right now, but I do want you to think about the battle that you're having right now. I want you to think about the battle that you're in. And now listen to what David said when he was standing where you're standing. He's on his way to fight Goliath. He's on his way to fight whatever battle you're in. And he declares, I lack nothing that I need. And even though I'm in the darkest valley, I fear no evil because God is with me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. Now, there's a lot to unpack here, and I reckon we could come back and do an entire sermon on Psalm 23, one verse at a time, and it would be amazing. In fact, Derek, write that down. I'm going to do that, all right? But there is one verse that you all know that I love. One verse that jumps out at me every time I read this. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. See, this table that we're talking about, it's not just pregame. It's the pregame, it's the midgame, and it's the endgame. Amen. And I love the picture that it paints for me. The devil has chosen me. He's put me in his sights. He's locked me in and decided to go to war with me. I've just lost my best employee. I've just lost a loved one. I've just found out my spouse is cheating on me. I just got the foreclosure notice. I just found out that my child is being diagnosed with A, with B or with C. I've just found out that I've got this cancer or that cancer. The battle has looked at me and it's picked me. And then right there in the presence of my enemies, God's cooking a steak for me. Just standing there cooking a meal for me. Right there. There's chaos all around me. But God is preparing a table for me in the presence of my enemy. In the middle of all the chaos and the fire and the weaponry and the battle that's going on around me. In the middle of it, a waiter comes and sets up my table right in front of me. What an incredible picture. Imagine that. You're at war. You're in the middle of a fire. Something crazy's going on. And a waiter just comes out and goes, here, have a meal. Just sets it up for you. The devil's like, wait, what is going on here? The devil's freaking out. He's like, you're supposed to be running away. You're supposed to be scared. At least come and attack me unprepared. But we just sit down together. What on earth is happening? He probably wouldn't say what on earth. He'd say what the H-E double hockey sticks is happening, wouldn't he? Because he's from there. When we sit down at a table, thanks God. Oh, if you broke it, it was supposed to be broken. You're God. Jesus said that he's come not only to be served, but to serve, right? Right? When you find yourself in that darkest spot, God is coming to serve you. Look at all this. Look at all this. There's a battle going on. I'm eating grapes. You're the devil, right? How confused are you? You're not the devil. You know, I'm just painting a word picture for you. You're the devil. How confused are you? This dude is just sitting down, walking around, having some grapes and a salad. Thanks, God. That's not an alcoholic, right, Jesus? Cool, because we're in church, you know. The Midwest, bro. You don't want people to run away. Can I have some of that? Thanks. Hear about what happened at work? You're all right. I'll wait for you. Just chatting with God in the middle of the battle. Do you understand what I'm talking about right now? This is insanity. The devil is freaking out right now because I'm going to sit down here in the middle of the battle. I'm just going to relax. In fact, I'm going to have a steak. Thanks, bro. Yeah. Give me a minute. Thank you, God. I'm sitting down in the middle of a battle. The devil thinks he's got me surrounded, but at the table, I'm surrounded by angels. Come on, I'm surrounded by the presence of God. I'm surrounded by the power of God. And I realize that when I stop and sit down in the middle of the battle and I eat the food on the table that God has prepared for me in the presence of my enemies, he's making me strong with each bite. Come on. He's healing me with each bite. He's giving me courage with each bite. He restores my soul with each bite. Amen. He comforts me with each bite. He's anointing my head with oil with each bite. I'm becoming courageous. I'm becoming strong. I'm becoming brave. God is healing my soul. What's happening here? I'm not afraid of the devil. In this world, you will have trouble, but with Jesus is with me, and He has overcome the world. I'm surrounded by His presence. I'm surrounded by His power. I know that this battle cannot do more harm to me than it can good, because Jesus makes all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. Amen. So I'm going to sit here for a minute. And I'm going to let God supply my needs. I'm going to take some time to spend with my provider. And then I'm going to stand up and declare like David did, devil, you come at me with a sword, a javelin, and a lie. I come against you in the name of the Lord. Amen. You made me doubt my value when my spouse cheated on me. You made me feel ugly. You made me feel small. You made me feel worthless. You robbed me of my confidence. I'm taking it back in Jesus' name. Devil, you made me feel weak with this sickness, but God has made me strong. You made me doubt my abilities as a leader with that employee. Well, I just had a meal in the presence of God, and I'm coming for you. Church, when the devil comes at you with a lie, when he comes at you with a sword, when he comes at you with a disease, with hurt, with loss, you need to stop for a minute. Sit down at the table just for a moment and have a meal with Jesus. I love how God uses meals all throughout Scripture. Because you can't just eat a meal in like 3 seconds. Takes a little bit of time. It takes a moment, doesn't it, to eat the meal. I got to sit. I got to eat it. I'm going to chat with Jesus. Don't just run straight into the battle. Sit down. Spend a moment in God's presence. Have a filet mignon. Have a cup full of anointing, amen. Have a dinner conversation with God. Did you hear what happened at work? I don't even know what to do with that, God. And then get up and say what David said. You come against me with a sword. You come against me with a spear. You come against me with a javelin and a lie. But I've come in the name of the Lord. And I'm going to cut off your head. What do you do when the battle picks you? You go have dinner with God. What do you do when the battle picks you? You go have dinner with God. Go sit at His table. What am I saying? I'm saying hit the pause button for a second. Don't just find out the worst news of your life and then freak out and react and respond and hurt somebody. Hit the pause button for a second. Spend some time in God's presence. God's presence is like a dinner on the battlefield. Chaos all around us. Chaos everywhere. And God's literally cooking a steak. Like nothing is going on. Spend some time in God's presence. God's presence is like a dinner table on the battlefield. Prayer, praise, worship, reading the word. You will receive strength. You will receive hope. You will receive courage. You will receive boldness. Amen. Don't just run into a battle without stopping for a praise party and a steak on the way. Amen. Would you stand up with me? I'm going to tie this all together. Stand up with me as we get ready to close, or as we get ready to pray for people. I said earlier that the table is before, during, and after the battle. That it's the pregame, the mid-game, and the end game. During the battle, don't touch my steak. During the battle, go to the Lord's table to be healed mid-battle. You can't just say, all right, God, thanks for the strength. I'm going to go fight this battle. And then just forget about Him. Some battles take longer than that, right? Who's had to be in a battle that's lasted a year? Yeah? Anyone else? Don't just get a stake at the start of that battle and then just think that a year later you don't need any more food. A year later, I'm fine. Now you got to keep going back to the table during the battle. But he has another battle prepared for you too, and this is where you need to keep your sights on. He's prepared a victory dinner for you. Keep coming to the Lord's table, and soon enough you're going to find yourself at the victory table. Amen. It's not a maybe, it's not a might, it's not a possibility. He's already prepared it for you. I was on the stage preaching, the steak was already cooked out there. He's already prepared it for you. The devil, like the Philistines, he's going to have to watch you collect the spoils of war. That's that all things work together for the benefit of those who love the Lord. Amen. He took your marriage. Well, watch him find that marriage come alive, come stronger and better than it ever was beforehand. If that's gone, watch you live in a new blessing, a better blessing, a more inspiring and encouraging blessing. Come on. It's going to be better at the victory table than it was before the battle ever came. I can promise you that. I can promise you that. You'll be stronger than you were before, richer than you were before, better resourced than you were before, wiser than you were before, and even eating better food than you were before. Amen. But you've got to keep coming to the table. The table is the presence of God. Table is the presence of God. You got to keep coming back. What do I do when a battle picks me? I go have dinner with God. What do I do in the middle of the battle? I go have dinner with God. Have communion with God. Come on. Come on. What do you do when you find out your best employee just left? What do you do when you find out your boss is going to fire you? What do you do when you find out your spouse has cheated on you? What do you do when you find out you've got cancer? What do you do when you find out that an investment has gone bad? What do you do when you find out your kid's got a diagnosis that you don't like? What do? You go have dinner with God. This is how I fight my battles. In praise, in worship, in thanksgiving, in prayer. In praise, in worship, thanksgiving, in prayer, in the presence of God. If you're in a battle right now, you're surrounded right now by God. Because you're in the presence of God. Scripture says, where two or more are gathered, there I am with you. Where two or more are gathered, there I am with you. Scripture also says that when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. And we're all in church drawing near to God, aren't we? Reaching out to God. Reaching out to God. And right now, you're surrounded by the presence of God. Right now, you're surrounded by the power of God. Right now, you're surrounded by the glory of God. Right now, you're surrounded by the resources of God. Right now, you're surrounded by the physician of God. Amen. Right now, you're surrounded by God. And so I want you to fight your battles, giving Him thanksgiving, lifting up the name of the Lord, singing His praises. Come down the front and let people pray for you. Get fired up, get filled up, get fueled up. And then keep fighting this week. We're going to go another week on this battle series. We were going to do something else next week, but we're going another week on this battle series next week. Right now, I want to pray for people who don't know Jesus. If you're in here and you've never had a relationship with God before, or maybe you've walked away from Him, I'm telling you, you need to give your life to Jesus. You need to give Him an opportunity to straighten your life out. Before time began, God had a plan for your life. But the devil come along and he's messed with it. And he's come against God's plan for your life. And he's come against the goodness of God in your life. But you've been on your own. And you haven't had the strength. But right now, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, you're going to have the Lord fighting the battle with you. See, things do happen in the world that are too much for you, that are too hard for you, that are too big for you. But nothing is too big for you and Jesus. Nothing at all. Nothing at all. So I want you to give Him your life today, so that the next battle you face, you can face it after a meal in the presence of your enemies. I want you to give Him your life so that all the garbage that's happened in your life can be turned into blessing for your future. I want you to give Him your life so that He can take away the shame and the pain and the hurt of your past mistakes. Or maybe He needs to take away the hurt and the shame and the pain of things that other people have done to you or around you. I want you to give Him your life today. And I want you to do that by praying a prayer with me, one line at a time. One line at a time. I'm going to say it, and then I want you to repeat it back with me. You won't be alone. Every person in this room is going to do it. You won't be alone. I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Scripture says, believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, and you will be saved. So I want you to do that with me right now. Give your life to Jesus Christ. I'm not asking you to be perfect. I'm not asking you to change the way you walk, talk, dress, or anything like that. If there's something in your life that's offensive to God or destructive to you or other people, God will speak to you when you're ready. It's not my job to tell you what to change in your life. It's my job to introduce you to Jesus Christ, who can come into your life and fight your battles with you. So everybody in the room, so that nobody's alone. Everybody in the room, and especially those who have walked away from God or those who have never known Him, repeat after me right now. Dear God, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross for my sins, and He rose again to give me life, hope, joy, peace, and eternal life. I receive it all. I receive your forgiveness. I receive this new life with you as my Lord and my Savior. Help me to live it the way you designed it, special, just for me. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen, amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise in here. Hallelujah. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or for the first time in a long time, there's three things I want you to do. Number one, I want you to tell somebody what you did today. Tell the person who brought you to church. Tell someone online, on Facebook, on Instagram. Tell somebody what you did here today. Tell them to watch as you're going to live a blessed life now with God backing you up. If you could also please tell us. Text the word SAVE to the number 25827. If you do that, someone on our team will send you a gift in the mail this week. We're going to send you a Bible, a CD, and a gift card to a local coffee shop. Not a gift, not a buy one, get one free, an actual gift card. We just want to bless you. So you can go have a couple of free coffees on us. Read that Bible. Listen to that music. We're going to send you that in the mail. The last thing I want you to do is tell me. So if everybody in the room could close their eyes and bow their heads right now, every single person. Close your eyes and bow your heads, every person in the room. Nobody's looking around. If you prayed that prayer, in a moment I'm going to count to three and I want you to put your hand up just to let me know that you prayed that prayer. Because I want to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God will bless your life. That He'll just take away any shame that you've been carrying, any pain from your past mistakes or things that other people have done to you or around you. I'm going to pray that He's going to take your past and force it to bless your future like only He can do. So right now, with every eye closed and nobody looking around, if you prayed that prayer for the first time or the first time in a long time, well, no one's looking around, I want you to lift up your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Lift up those hands over this place. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Anybody else? That's seven hands. Anybody else? You can put your hands down now. That's seven hands. Heavenly Father, I pray for those seven people. God, that right now you would break off their life, the shame, the pain, the hurt of their past mistakes. God, the shame, the pain, the hurt of things that have been done to them or around them, God, break it off in Jesus' name we pray. And God, by your power, I pray that the trash of their past would be forced to create blessing in their future. God, that the devil would have to repay tenfold, 20-fold, 50-fold, 100-fold what he took from them. God, I ask you to bless them right now. Fill their hearts with joy, with peace, with hope. God, everlasting joy. Peace that doesn't make sense in the situation. God, just bless my seven new friends right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hey, I'm going to pray for you all right now. If you're in a battle, lift up your hands. I want to pray for you right now. Come on, lift up your hands if you're in a battle. Heavenly Father, in your presence right here, I ask for strength. God, I ask for strength. I ask for courage. I ask for power. I ask for wisdom. I ask, God, for a tenacity. God, to keep going. God, I pray you would feed every single person with their hand raised right now. Every weak soul, every weak heart. God, that you would feed them, strengthen them. Give them the sustenance, the protein, the power, the strength, and the grace that they need to win this battle in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Church, I'm going to walk off this stage right now. If you want prayer, if you want prayer, come down the front. We've got a team of people waiting to pray for you. God bless you. Come on. This is how I fight my battles.